Where the Bodies Are Buried contains graphic depictions of violence that some listeners may find disturbing. Discretion is advised.
My name is Phil Chalmers, and this is Where the Bodies Are Buried.
After I ran out of bullets, he was still moving around, so I have to use the knife a couple of times. I don't know where the media gets that I did it like 100 times. I have no recollection of doing that.
On this episode of Where the Bodies Are Buried, we'll be hearing stories from Heriberto Zeta, the copycat Zodiac killer. To fully understand what you're about to hear, you need to know about the man that inspired him, the Zodiac killer. He was one of the most prolific serial killers in history, and he's still roaming the streets, having never been caught. This mystery man would send letters to the press and police to be deciphered. They were full of clues and would taunt authorities for years. Between being in a dark place in his life and seeing a television series on the Zodiac, Heriberto Zeta was inspired to follow in his footsteps.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
What is your real name?
My name is Heriberto Zeta.
Heriberto Zeta. And yes. What's your nickname?
Eddie.
Is that your middle name?
Yeah, because it sounds, the first name, when I say it, it sounds like Heriberto. So people just, they can't say the whole name, so they just hear like part of the first name, and it sounds like Eddie.
Yeah. The media nicknamed you something. What was your nickname in the media?
They would call me the Zodiac Killer.
And some call you the Zodiac Copycat.
Yes.
How many murders were you convicted of, Eddie?
Three.
And how many others did you try to kill but did not?
I think about six.
So you had three survivors?
Yeah.
So the original Zodiac has really enthralled the public. And even though it happened in the 60s, people still talk about the Zodiac. And it's always listed as one of those cases where people want to know about it. Like, who is the Zodiac? Like, they're intrigued. He's never been arrested. He's still out there. And it's very interesting that another serial killer comes along and decides to pick up where the Zodiac left off. So the Zodiac in San Francisco, California, he's shot, he's stabbed, and he's responsible for at least five victims. We know he attacked at least seven victims, but some people suspect him of 28 victims, and he claims 37. Here we are, 30 years later, comes another Zodiac stalking New York City. Heriberto Zeta from Brooklyn, New York, and he killed three victims, but he tried to kill nine. And he was down and out, bad in his luck. He had been rejected by the army. He'd been raised in poverty. And lo and behold, he's watching a serial killer show. And he sees on the serial killer show, he's watching all these serial killers, and then he sees the Zodiac. And he says, you know, this actually gives me some purpose in life. I could do this. So initially, he comes out like he is the Zodiac, and the police at first thought it was him because his notes mimicked the original Zodiac. He would send notes that would say, like, this is the Zodiac speaking, and he used the symbols from the original Zodiac. He even used a picture of a costume and a hood and a logo. So at first, they said, holy shit, the Zodiac is back. He has resurfaced 30 years later across the country. Well, after a while, they figured out it wasn't him. The copycat Zodiac, Heriberto Zeta, tried to reenact the Zodiac crimes. He would walk up to unsuspecting people, he would shoot them, and then he would send a note to the media and the police. Tell me about your upbringing, Eddie. What was your family like, and what was your childhood like?
Well, you know, we grew up poor. You know, only I had my mother and one sister. So we grew up in a poor neighborhood, you know, poor income. It's been, you know, Living on Westwood has been very rough.
Do you live in the city of New York?
Yeah, in the city, mostly I think around Brooklyn.
Did you experience any abuse or loss or anything like that growing up?
No, not really. Mostly like just my surroundings, more like the neighborhood was rough, you know, with all the drugs and violence around there. My mother always kept us inside, so we never was like running around outside exposed to, you know, to the elements of the streets.
So tell me about, how do you go from there, you know, a bouncing baby boy to sitting in prison for life? How does that happen?
Yeah, well, that happened when I was in high school. I brought a starter's pistol to one of my classes, And I brought me to school just to show off the kids, and the teacher found out about it, and then I got suspended. I went to one of those, trials to see if I stay in school. And I guess they kicked me out of school, and that was like the beginning of my downfall.
Tell me the steps from the starter pistol to getting arrested. Like, what happens in between that? How do you get there?
I already had interest in, you know, in weapons and stuff like that, guns and stuff. So I was curious of, you know, I wanted to join the Army. But before I wanted to go take the test, I wanted to, you know, do more research so I'd be more familiar. So it'd be easier for me when I go in the Army. So I started buying, you know, magazines and books of, you know, about the Army, every how it works and everything. You know, I found a Special Forces, the Green Beret. Mm-hmm. I found that very interesting since I was already, you know, informed of weapons and stuff like that. So that caught my eye. I wanted to, like, you know, join the Army to be a Green Beret.
Okay.
I took the test, but I failed it by a couple of points, 2 or 3 points, and he said I couldn't join. Then after that, I couldn't join. I was kind of, like, angry, pissed off, so, you know. And mostly, you know, I stayed in my house. There wasn't much to do because I was poor, no, you know, and I was just isolated in my house all day doing nothing. And, you know, because I couldn't join, you know, the Army, I was kind of like angry already. Was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I always view myself as an American. I don't know why they couldn't just take people and just give them like 2 years no matter what, you know, let them do the services, you know. I don't understand what the test has to do with anything. It doesn't prove like my commitment to America or anything like that. And then I'm looking at TV, I see one day the shows on crime.
Yep.
And they had the show on the Zodiac, the San Francisco Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at it, you know. I've been looking at other, you know, shows like this too. So, you know, I was curious. And I said, oh, this guy was never caught. It rang in my bell. You know, I ain't doing nothing. You know, I'm poor, you know, and I was already angry. And I said, but what caught my eye, he was in court. So I can use his identity and take it, you know, for myself and, you know, bring him back. This show just triggered me to, I can do that. I can, you know, use my skills, which I already acquired because I wanted to join the Army.
Mm.
So I watched the show. I memorized every time as much as I can, and I duplicated as much as I can from looking at the show. And I prepared myself, you know, I started, you know, planning and making my guns and all that stuff, the zip guns.
Tell the people what a zip gun is.
It's a homemade gun because I wanted to join the Army, but I wanted to join the Green Berets. And the Green Beret, one of the traits is they have to have the skill of improvising weapons and using common stuff around to create something. And I bought books and I learned the skills to do it. So I started practicing, you know, making the weapons and stuff like that. And I tested it for a while and it worked, and I guess it was a way for me to express my skills and knowledge, I guess, to the world or the Army. Like, look, I can do this. Why you don't, you know, hire me or get me, you know?
Right, right.
You know, once I kept planning, and that's where the New York Zodiac, you know, began.
And you were 23 years old around that time when you started. So you use the little gun you made, that's the weapon you use, a zip gun?
Yeah, I had different calibers. I was testing, you know, I was working on different calibers. So I found like the 9mm and 380 to be more effective. They were lighter, more compact for me to carry around.
Wow, so you had the skills from the Army. Unfortunately, you were depressed. You were raised in poverty. You were frustrated. And it was just a storm that came together, and you saw this show, and it was on serial killers. You saw the Zodiac, and you say, I could do that. And you almost made the people at first think the Zodiac was back, right? Like the Zodiac came from California. It was in New York.
Yeah.
Your first victim, was it a male or female?
Whichever one it was, I can't remember exactly, you know?
So, okay, so you're going to do your first murder, your first victim. Tell, how do you prepare for it? And just walk us through your mindset. Like, okay, what are you doing?
Mostly I just go wandering around into, you know, I used to go at nighttime, like 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walk around. When I get far away from somewhere, or if I find an area that's real isolated, or I feel comfortable in the area and somebody comes in, and if I see if the person is appropriate, that's when I do the shootings.
Okay, what do you mean the person's appropriate? What do you mean by that?
Well, he looks like he's appropriate to shoot, you know, like he's not moving too fast or acting in a, you know, not really observing me or anything like that or the area. I'm probably hiding somewhere in the area or walking around the area until I see somebody. And I just walk up to them like, okay, that's him. And I just walk behind them and shoot them and just go home.
How many times would you shoot these victims? Because you had three that did not survive and two or three more that did. Did you shoot them one time and walk away, or did you shoot them multiple times?
It just one time, just one, because I only had one round. There's only a one shot.
Some died and some lived.
Yeah.
After the first time you did it and walked away, you go home, and do you turn on the TV, and do you see, is this making the evening news?
Yeah, once when it happens at nighttime, I just go home and go to sleep. But during the day, I look at the news or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, there's nothing in the news, you know, because it's calm and they don't say nothing. But it became news when I wrote the media and everything and told them, and that's when it explodes everywhere.
When you did a few of these and you wrote to the media and the police or whoever, and you started getting coverage, were you nervous you were going to get caught? Were you excited? Were you just like, this is my goal? What was your thoughts?
Well, yeah, all that goes, you know, across your mind. You know, you're nervous, you're scared, you know, they're going to get caught, everything. And, you know, I never felt, you know, not really, you know, happy or proud, you know, just like, you know, it's like a little vindication, like, you know, yeah, you know, now you know I can do stuff like this.
Well, one of your victims you not only shot, but you stabbed. Tell me why that's the one unique case. What happened with that one?
Well, that one because I fired the gun, right? It was a small caliber. It didn't really stop her, right? So I ran out of bullets because I only had like one or two rounds. So after I ran out, you know, she was still moving around. So I have to use the knife a couple of times. But I don't know where the media gets that. Like I did it like 100 times.
Right.
But I have no recollection of doing that. She was in a rural area, and I guess, you know, people wandering came by, and somebody else could have stabbed her or something multiple times. I didn't have no recollection of doing that so many times like that, the way they say it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Phil, so Heriberto typically shoots his victims, correct?
He does. He walks up behind them and unsuspectingly shoots them in the back.
Okay, so in this one case, one victim, he goes to shoot them, they don't die, and then he goes and stabs them multiple times? I don't even understand this. How do you deviate so far from the way you've been killing people? And why, you know, if you're not successful, why not just leave and try again? Why do you have to finish it like stabbing someone? I don't get it at all.
I was thinking the very same thing. Why did he change his MO? What happened in this situation? Then I was looking at the victims, and here's what happened. His first three victims, he walked up and shot them, and they all survived. His fourth victim survived. Okay, the third victim died 3 weeks later in the hospital. But realistically, he would walk up and shoot the first four victims and they all survived. And the problem is he's using a gun he made. He's not using a real gun. He's using a zip gun that he made and it wasn't powerful enough. So imagine you walk up and you shoot someone and you're like, I got my first victim. They survived. Then the second one survives. Then the third one survives, dies 3 weeks later in the hospital. The fourth one survives. It would lead us to the fifth victim. He walked up behind Patricia and shot her twice and she didn't die. So he pulled out a knife and stabbed her. Now, the media reports that he stabbed her 100 times. He tells us in the interview he doesn't remember stabbing her that many times. You are right, Samantha. He changed his MO, and he wanted to make sure she died.
That also sounds like rage to me. When you stab someone more than, like, a couple times, they always say that's an act of passion. That's rage. Then looking back with you talking about, you know, his rage about not being accepted and not being in the army, I just feel like it let the cat out of the bag, kind of like the last straw. He failed again at killing people. And this just feels like this big act of rage.
I mean, could you imagine? He gets kicked out of high school. He doesn't qualify for the army. And now he can't even kill people. I can't imagine the rage. Like, I can't even do this.
This was almost an accomplishment for him.
It is. And then if you look at the victims, after he killed the woman and stabbed her 100 times, Patricia Fonti, the next person he shot in the rear end and he survived. So then he changes MO and then he says, I got to shoot these people in the neck. So the last two victims were shot in the neck. Just like the original Zodiac, Heriberto Seda, who goes by Eddie, also sent the media and the police cryptic letters. And it was really a true copycat of the original Zodiac. He even started his letters with, "This is the Zodiac speaking." He used the same, some of the same symbols and some of the same artwork. And he would even do exactly what the original Zodiac did, is he would tell the police, describe the murder scene, describe the victim, and he would also discuss when he shot those unsuspecting people. Coming up, we're going to talk to one of my favorite experts, Louis Schlesinger, an expert in forensic psychology. If you're looking for more serial killer and true crime content, check out my YouTube channel at True Crime Phil. We're going to continue our conversation with Heriberto Seda, the copycat Zodiac.
Phil, I want to ask you about Heriberto's anger towards the army and not being accepted in the army. It seems to be something that comes up a lot.
You know, when you're raised in poverty, you don't have a lot of hope, you know, and some of us can relate to that and some can't. And so the army was his one way to escape poverty. He took the test twice and failed twice. And not only was he living in poverty, depressed, but he started to get angry. What he wanted to do was he wanted to prove to the army that I can do this, that I am qualified to be in the army, and I am qualified to be able to do
it's
the job.
It's a story like I've never heard in terms of the reason to kill, isn't it? I mean, I've never heard anything like that before. You know, I want to kill to prove to the army I can be in the army?
I mean, he put all of his hopes were on this, and it got dashed. And so basically he said, okay, you want to reject me? I'm going to show you that I could do this. I could sneak up and kill victims just like I would be maybe overseas or in the military. He wanted to lash out, and he wanted to get revenge on the military and on America. Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
Some inmates will ask me, send me pictures of women in, you know, bikinis, or send me this or send me that. And you and I, we communicate a lot, and you like history and you like pictures of World War II. And it's ironic that you have an interest in that and weaponry and stuff. That's something that you're very interested in.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got involved with weapons, because I wanted to join the Green Berets. Before I wanted to go to the army, I wanted to get very familiar with the weapons and, you know, tactics and, you know, all that stuff. So I used to buy a lot of books on guns and armies and stuff, magazines, everything.
And did you almost get caught at all? Like, did anybody ever try to, like, catch you or chase you or anything? Or
I recall one time I was walking around and I didn't do nothing that night, but the police stopped me and said, you know, they asked me, like, what are you doing around here? You know, I had a gun on me, and, you know, they said, oh, go home, get out of here, you know. One time I did get arrested by the street crimes unit, and they arrested me one night, and I had one of the guns on me. They booked me and everything, but after a week, they released me. They said that the gun didn't work, and they let me go. And the gun worked, but I don't know, probably didn't know how to work it, because it was like a unique, unique gun. They don't know how to operate it.
Tell me about the Zodiac connection. So you're inspired by the Zodiac. What do you do with the Zodiac symbols? Where do you get the symbols from? Do you send them to police? You send them to the media? Tell me about the symbols.
Well, the symbol, mostly, I don't know how that, you know, either it was coincidence or one in a billion, whatever. Because I have, you know, during the police, you know, I just saw a show on TV about the police, you know, they were interviewing it. You know, they said I took the wallets and everything. I never did anything like that. Mostly I approach them, and then when I go home, I don't know if it came, you know, subliminally to my mind, or some inner power, you know, told me what it was, and I just wrote it down. That's how it happened. I just picked one in my mind, and that's where it came on the paper. If the odds of that happening is like one in billions, you know, it's incredible, but, you know, that's how it happened. I didn't take the wallets. I didn't ask none of them. I just approached them, you know, shot them and went home. And then I wrote the letter to the police, which whatever symbol I wrote, and mailed it to the police or the news media. Mm-hmm. And that's how, you know.
And what were basically the letters?
I was giving them details and on times, date, descriptions of the victim, if I put them in there.
But were you pretending to be the Zodiac in California?
Yes, I was. Yes.
So were you like, hello, this is the Zodiac speaking, just like he did out there?
Yeah, he's still writing letters like, this is the Zodiac speaking.
Wow. And at first they thought it was the Zodiac, but what, for some reason they realized this is not the original Zodiac. Well, what made them change?
Well, the handwriting. The handwriting is different from the old and mine.
Have you been convicted of all the murders that you've committed?
They didn't charge me in one. Just one case. They got tired of charging me, so in one case they didn't pursue it.
So they let one go, but they know you did it, right? They know you did it.
Yeah.
Did someone ever crack the codes, or did you tell them what the codes meant?
The first one that came out in the papers, but afterward, like, you know, I never heard them say anything about the other ones I sent. I sent other ones, you know. Morse code, like the one the Navy uses, like the flags, stuff like that.
Like the maritime symbols?
Yeah. It's like each one is like a letter.
Oh, wow.
Just write the symbol, you know, in two words, and that's the simple form of, you know, writing a code.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I sent originally, the first one to the media, the paper. And that's the one that cracked. But the other ones, I never heard them say anything. I never seen them on the papers or anything. I don't know what they did with it. They kept it secret or whatever. I don't know.
We have Louis Schlesinger on the phone. He's an expert in forensic psychology. He's written dozens of books. He's been on hundreds of TV shows. He is somebody that I really, really admire. He's going to talk about the original Zodiac, the copycat Zodiac, and the connection between the two. Louis Schlesinger,
yes.
How you doing?
Okay.
Phil Chalmers calling. How's it going today?
Good.
Have you interviewed personally a lot of offenders yourself?
Oh, yeah, for 45 years. Richard the Iceman Kuklinski. Do you remember that case?
Yep. Today I wanted to talk to you about copycat Zodiac, but I wanted to go back and talk about the original Zodiac. What is your take on the original Zodiac? What are your thoughts on him, and who do you think that was?
Well, I don't know who it was. There was never an arrest made. The case was never solved. And when you have a case like that, there's continued speculation. It's just like Jack the Ripper. Now, here's the thing about the Zodiac case. You wouldn't even know about the Zodiac case with this level of notoriety if he didn't reference astrology, which I think has absolutely nothing to do with anything. I think he just did that to grab everybody's attention, and the media loves things like that, so they just ran with it. They want to be infamous. You have to understand, these people are failures, and so it's not surprising that they behave in the way they do. I mean, the Zodiac killer, he's not stupid. He's not any kind of genius, but he's definitely not stupid, and he knew that if he does things like this, you know, refer to astrology and all that, the press is going to eat this up, hook, line, and sinker. And they did. Now, if you look at what he did, he's killing couples. This is not your typical serial sexual murderer. Your typical serial sexual murderer is men killing women. These are sexually motivated. And the reason they're killing is because killing itself is eroticized. There's a fusion of sex and aggression so that the aggressive act itself is eroticized. I don't see that with the Zodiac killer. I see him killing couples because he's angry. This is an individual who is unable to have any kind of satisfying life, particularly with members of the opposite sex, and he's terribly, terribly jealous of those people that have had that. And so all this stuff about letters about paradise and collecting slaves, I think this is basically nonsense. It was just a ruse. He was just doing that to play with everybody. And I think that's the same thing with Seda, his copycat.
So we had the original Zodiac. He wasn't arrested. You have Seda, who we interviewed, and he told us, well, he took a starter pistol to school, got expelled. He couldn't pass the test to get in the army. He was, like you said, angry, poverty, and he just was watching a serial killer show, and he said he saw the Zodiac. What are your thoughts on Seda, the copycat Zodiac?
Well, first of all, if you're looking for similarities between Seda and the original Zodiac killer, you're going to find a lot, because that's what a copycat killer does. They copy the original. What Seda admired in the Zodiac case was avoiding capture, something Seda was unable to do himself. And Seda was very aware of forensic evidence, but he was nowhere near as smart as he thought he was, because look at all the forensic evidence he left. I think he left fingerprints and DNA, and so on. And Seda finds himself in prison now, whereas the original Zodiac was never really apprehended. Some people have said that Seda was the original Zodiac, or the Zodiac moved to New York City. That almost never happens.
Wow.
Seda was a complete failure in life. Unemployed, lived with his mother, I think, or his sister. Seems to me that Seda is killing because of his anger. He's just angry at people that are couples, that are happy, you know, that have found each other. And he never found anybody. He's just a very, very angry, bitter person. And he wanted to be infamous. Didn't want to be famous. He wanted to be infamous. Also, I think it's important, if you look at what Seda did in court, he disrupted the court. That's very common in these types of cases. Why? They want to make a spectacle of themselves. They want to be on the front page of the newspapers showing how disruptive he is and how famous he is and this sort of thing.
Do these guys enjoy killing people?
I think he probably did. I mean, I haven't personally examined him, so I can't really tell you what was going on inside of his head. But I think he probably enjoyed it, not in the same way a serial sexual murderer enjoys it. Angry people, and particularly angry at this level of rage. I mean, this isn't just, I mean, there's a lot of angry people running around, but this is much, much deeper than that. Don't care about anybody else. They want to see people suffer. It makes them feel good.
He stopped killing, and he stopped for 3 years before he got arrested.
It's hard to say exactly why. There are a number of serial killers that do stop killing. Some get gratification in other ways. But keep in mind also, when you look at these cases, this is not physics where you have A, B, C, and D is the outcome. These cases are extraordinary. They're unique. And while there are similarities, there are a lot of unique differences with these individuals.
Yeah. Thanks so much for taking time with us. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Phil, what's the difference between the letters from the actual Zodiac killer and our copycat Zodiac killer, Heriberto? You know, through depictions in movies, we know that the Zodiac killer's letters were actually really cryptic, and that makes us understand that he's probably a really smart guy. Were the copycat Zodiac's letters similar?
You know what? They're not exactly replicas of the original Zodiac, and he probably had access to read those on the internet, but they're very similar. Like the original Zodiac, he would write a letter, "Dear Editor, this is the murderer of the two teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman. The girl on the 4th of July near the golf course." He's got parts that are not cryptic where he's confessing. "Let me tell you why I can tell you I did this. The brand name of the ammo, Super X. 10 shots were fired. The boy was on his back with his feet to the car." I mean, he's describing the scene. Well, Seda comes along and kind of does the same thing where he's describing different cases, like this person died on March 8th at 1:45 a.m. White man with a black coat shot in the back on the street. So he's kind of doing the same thing and using some of the same symbols. So you can see why at first the police thought, holy shit, the Zodiac has resurfaced.
Were the letters, did they add up to anything? Or, you know, one of the things that I heard Heriberto say was that they just came to him, these symbols. Some were taken from the Zodiac, but some just came to him. What's going on there?
I don't believe the symbols came to him. I think he copied some of the original Zodiac. But he also decided to use maritime flags and things as his symbols. He tried to do something cryptic like the original Zodiac, but he wasn't quite as creative as the original Zodiac. And so somebody cracked his code in the first day they received his letter, where it took the original Zodiac, some people took them years to crack his cryptic code.
Yeah, and it's crazy that nobody has ever captured the Zodiac killer. I mean, that is one of the most unbelievable things.
There's many possible suspects. There's many ideas that people have who the Zodiac was. There was one guy who confessed to being the Zodiac on his deathbed, and he had a connection to like four of the victims. We think he's dead. I don't think we'll ever solve that case, unfortunately. But we're glad we were able to solve the copycat Zodiac case.
There's a question I'd love to know, and I don't know if it's relevant. Like, whenever I think of a copycat killer, I think of someone who, like, doesn't have the confidence to have their own MO, kind of. And he sounds like someone that already had, like, a big hit on his confidence. Because he's basically taking on someone's persona.
Like, I don't know of any other copycat serial killers that come to mind for me. So he might be an original, but he's trying to take on a serial killer that's never been arrested.
Does that say something about who he is, what type of guy he is? Obviously, he has this lack of confidence and has had failure after failure, even in becoming a serial killer. You know, there's just something fascinating that he had to take on the persona of someone else and almost still needed that, the satisfaction of the media, you know, chasing him and feeling that validation. There's some interesting things in there that keep coming to mind.
In America, that really there aren't too many copycat serial killers. Heriberto Seda is in a class by himself. I can't think of any other copycat serial killers that come to mind. So he's an original in that way. And what he's doing is he's taking on probably one of the biggest cases and the only serial killers that we talk about that's never been arrested and never been caught, the Zodiac. We're going to continue our conversation with Heriberto Seda, the copycat Zodiac.
This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
We are back with Eddie. You had survivors. You would walk up and shoot them, walk away, and you really didn't know when you walked away if they survived or not.
No, did the papers say something?
Yeah. When you shot them, did they react? Did they scream? Did they try to run? What did they do?
Not really, because it was a surprise. Mostly I just did it, and nobody screamed or anything. I just did it and just went about my way.
Did you just kind of walk up and point it at their back?
Yeah, from the back. Yeah, mostly they were from the back.
So somebody's just walking along and bang, and then you're gone.
Yeah.
How did you get caught?
It was an incident in my apartment with my sister, and she bunked some guy over. It made me uncomfortable because I didn't want to get, you know, be known or recognize me or anything, and just she bunked some guy over, and they were hanging around. I couldn't take it. I started arguing with her. You know, get this guy out of here, blah, 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 blah. So I got angry. I went to get a gun and try to shoot him, but it shot my sister.
Okay.
She called out and called the police. And, you know, all hell broke loose. That's when police started coming, and I thought it was the end of the world. I started shooting at the police. The police started shooting back at me, and then it was like a standoff for 4 hours.
Wow. So you finally got taken into custody, and at that point you knew the gig, was up.
Yeah, I surrendered, you know, after the standoff. I don't know how long was the standoff. After they told me to give up, okay, I give up. You know, I put all the guns and I had bombs in there too. I had bombs and tear gas, all that stuff in there. So I told them I want to surrender, and they put a bucket down the window. I put everything in there, and I came out. I opened the door, came out. They arrested me.
And then that was your last day of freedom. Did you do anything else? Was there any other part of the crime, robbery or rape, or was just the shooting?
No, it was just the shootings, you know.
And what has prison been like for you?
Well, I mean, it hasn't been that bad that I expected. I mean, you know, because it's a long story. Because because when I was out there, there was always a conflict. I was always curious of why things was happening. And I started getting involved with God in religion. Mm-hmm. And little by little, I started understanding how the world works and why, you know, me and people do things like this. And little by little, I started, you know, understanding and that what I was doing was wrong, and I had to stop.
If you would not have been arrested, do you think you would have killed more victims?
No, it would have ended because I was changing my thinking and my processes. Because once I believe now, you know, in God, you know, you can't do that no more. Because, you know, because he can forgive you for your sins, no matter what you did. Because, you know, what I did was bad, and there was no way out. You know, and believing and reading the Bible, it gave me a way out. That even what I did, I can still be, you know, free. And I would have, you know, I would have stopped. I would have, you know, not done no more. The only way I would have got caught is if they were arresting me and took my fingerprint, and that's the only way they would have found out. And sometimes, you know, in my mind, I say it's good that I got arrested because I got out of that area I lived. There's like so much evil and badness around there that this is a refreshing thing for me. Like coming to jail, I go to a different environment, so I can like change in a new environment. I'm not in the same environment no more.
Wow. Are you remorseful for your crimes?
Yes, I'm remorseful, but, you know, me saying that, like, if I say it on TV, everybody's just going to look at me, oh, I'm crazy, and I really don't care what anybody says. As long as I confess to Jesus Christ and you know, and acknowledge him, you know, that is all that matters. You know, I can bring nobody back from the grave. If you do it from, you know, Jesus Christ's ways, everything will be all right. These people that died, they don't come back to life again. If they believe in Jesus Christ, they're all going to live. I had a Bible in my apartment. I started reading that. I started looking at the shows, the religious shows on TV, why things happen. And then, you know, me reading, as time goes on, I'm still outside before I got arrested. I started, you know, feeling more remorseful, but it opens my eyes that, you know, even though what I was doing, there was a way out for me, you know, and that was like, you know, to Jesus Christ in the Bible. I was, you know, curious of why I was doing that. So I started reading my Bible, and So I started going to church, you know, little by little I started changing, you know, and that's, you know, but awesome. I guess the devil's so strong that he came back. That was a time with my sister, and he unleashed the final, I guess, my final chapter.
Hey, Phil, can you explain how Harry Berto got caught a little better? I wasn't very clear exactly on what happened there.
Yeah, interesting enough, he got away with these murders. 3 years went by, and he was a free man. He messed up one night. He didn't like his sister's boyfriend. So he pulled out one of his zip guns, and he was going to shoot the boyfriend, who locked himself in the bathroom, so he ended up shooting his sister. His sister crawled out of the apartment bleeding and told the neighbors to call the police. He had a long standoff and a shootout with the police. He survived, went to the station. They were pressing him for some information about this case, and he wrote a little, you know, like his version of the case. Like, he wrote his testimony, his take on the case and what happened. And you know what he put on the bottom of the incident report? The circle cross hashtag logo that he had been sending to the police. And they went, that looks familiar. And they started questioning about the Copycat Zodiac case, and they somehow were able to tie it with the riflings of his zip guns, which he didn't think they could do. And he confessed to all of the shootings and was sentenced to like 250 years in prison.
So, Phil, when I hear this, it almost sounds like someone who wanted to get caught.
He really didn't want to get caught. He was turning his life around. He told me he had been going to church, and he's very religious right now. And he said, you know, I was going to this church near my house, and I'd gotten my life together. Like, I didn't think I was going to do that anymore, and I was finding purpose for my life. But unfortunately, he slid back to his violent tendencies, which got him arrested.
Why put the Zodiac sign? Like, why, you know, was that just habit?
You know what? He didn't even know why he did that.
Sita was looking for an identity or something to cling on to. He could have been hiding behind another killer's crime, the Zodiac Killer, but he shot most of his victims in the back. He was convicted for his crimes and is now serving a 232-year sentence. Thanks for listening to Where the Bodies Are Buried, and remember to subscribe to receive updates on new episodes. This podcast is produced by Grinning Dog Entertainment and Audio Up.